Welcome in, week 9 preview show. We are Q-less today, but joined as always, Nick and Todd. What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
Well, we've kind of been spoiled the last couple weeks with some really, really good top matchups. And this one's not as good, but you look at the board. I mean, I know Alabama, Missouri. That's a big spread. Notre Dame, Navy. Can't wait to talk about LSU, Texas A&M, but I think we've got a little bit of a sneaky fun slate this weekend. That was almost a tongue twister, but it gets started tonight, Boise State, UNLV. So let's jump right into it. As we were talking backstage, you've heard from multiple parties about which side they're on. And I really can't see a wrong side. Obviously, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose, but I like both of these. I think the line, the number is right. I really like UNLV. I want them to win this game, but I don't see how they slow down Ashton Jeanty. Nick, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm with you. As we said backstage, I don't know what side. Listened to a lot of podcasts, watched a lot of shows, read about this game. Everybody I've talked to or heard is 50-50 on who's going to cover. So I'm avoiding all that, and I'm going to take both of these very good offenses. Like, whether it's you talk about a group of five team or a power four team, these two offenses can hang with just about anybody. We saw that with Boise State did against Oregon, like week two or three. So, yeah, I don't see how UNLV stops Ashton Jeanty, but also Boise State's defense hasn't been anything to write home about. So I will take the side out of this. Love the total of 63. I think one team here gets in the 40s. Don't know which one though. So anything around like 40 to 20 ish, we should be good here. So yeah, I'm just going to stick with the total here. And hey, who doesn't want Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern? Let's just root for points.
Todd. Yeah, I agree with him. This is tough. And like Nick just said, I've listened to a lot of people. When you have a lot of people on Boise State, you got a lot of people on UNLV. I think it's going to be a lot of action in this fast track. You know, looking at some of UNLV numbers, totals 58, 94, 85, 63, 43, and 86. So, I mean, they're high scoring games. And Boise puts on a lot of points too. Hopefully, like Nick said off air, that it's not a slow game. And like when you always think there's fireworks and sometimes it starts slow, I think it will heat up. I think there's some big plays in this. So I think the smarter play tonight is do the over or look at one of the team points and just hopefully there's a lot of points and a lot of action on a Friday night.
So hang on while I look at this, because I like those first quarter bets. I'm looking into where they're ranked 12th for UNLV, averaging 11 points in the first quarter. And then you've got Boise State, who is ranked 21st, averaging 9.2 points. The first quarter total is set at 14, juice to the under, which kind of surprises me. I mean, all you would need, two scripted drives, touchdowns, and then – can they score fast enough to get back down and kick a field goal? That's kind of the question. Happy Friday, Sean. Welcome in. Y'all want anything, any part of that 14?
I don't hate it. I mean, like we said, we expect points in this game. I don't know when points are going to come, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if it's right off the bat. Like you said, with scripted drives, Ashton Jeanty is like that player where he seems like one of those guys where it's like until you see him in person, you can watch all the tape and video you want. And then basically you get into a game. It's like, okay, this guy's faster than I thought. He's bigger than I thought. So it's like, yeah. Like why do both teams not put up points here in the first quarter? So I don't hate that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do first quarter over, first half over, third quarter over.
Just even the methodology of saying, okay, well, Boise State's going to run. That's going to run the clock down. Ashton Jeanty is the kind of guy that can bust one for 70 yards to the house. I mean, eighth in pass offense success rate, going up against a 43rd ranked rush defense for Boise State. Meanwhile, when Boise State has the ball, 26th in rushing offense success rate, but the rushing defensive success rate for the Rebs are actually 19th, a little better. But again, what running back of note has this UNLV rush defense faced? I think Ash Agenti is definitely going to get his. I think it's minus 1,500 to score a touchdown, anytime touchdown.
Can yeah, I wouldn't hate looking at two. Bet. You can, like, there's if there's out there, like, the two-plus TDs, that gets you anywhere close to, like, plus money or anything around, like, a minus 100, minus 110, something like that. I don't hate that either because, like we said, if there's going to be a ton of points, if Boise puts up 40, chances are two of the touchdowns came from Ash Agenti.
Yep.
And, you know, we've been talking about Heisman. I mean, this is their, you know, it's 10:30. It's on TV. This is to show him some of the people that don't really watch him live. So I think they'll try to get him the ball. And I think they'll try to add some stats on too. So that's why I think, again, the over, I think this is a lot of points in this game, because I think they'll try to showcase him tonight. And I think UNLV will be able to score too. So I don't think it's going to be one of these that what he's done against some previous teams when they have to, like, yank him out of the game. I think it's a high scoring game. And I think hopefully it's a close game that they keep him out there, and let's keep adding those stats and try to break that record.
All right, let's go to the other one that I left off the preview board, but not the show. Notre Dame takes on Navy in East Rutherford. What is this at MetLife Stadium? Yep.
Yeah.
So neutral site game. Listen, I'm not trying to be unpatriotic here. I love the armed forces. I love Navy. This is awesome. This run that they're on, them and Army, is nothing short of spectacular. But Notre Dame they're going to win this game, and I feel like they're going to blow them out. The 155th strength of schedule for Navy worries me. We've seen it time and time again. What happens when a team that's tested goes into the water against a team that is untested? The tested team comes out ahead. I think the last time that these two teams were ranked in the top 25 was, 2019? Notre Dame won 52-20. I think you could very much see a similar result in that. I'm going to root for a good game. I'm probably going to take Notre Dame. I saw their minus 6.5 in the first half. That was my best bet last week. They cashed. That was the only one that cashed. But I think Notre Dame gets off to another hot start. And I think Navy is just going to find themselves facing too big of a task to try to have an uphill climb against a good Fighting Irish team. But, Nick, I see you in the Notre Dame jacket. No better person to dissect this one than you. So let's hear it.
Yeah. As you know, I've spoken about this plenty of times. I hate betting Notre Dame games just because something mentally, I'm so afraid of getting it wrong and then being disappointed even if they win. So I'm staying off of the spread here, but I am taking Notre Dame team total over 30. I got a 31.5. Smitty has been all over these Navy overs, and that's because Navy's offense been great. Navy's defense, nothing to write home about. I mean, you look at Matt, you mentioned 155th strength of scheduled. They're still around 100th in their rush defense success rate. What's Notre Dame going to do? They are going to run the ball down their throats. I don't see how Navy stops Notre Dame. Now, spread-wise, like, you look at this, this is another one where the books love this because it's reverse line movement. Basically, what I saw was like 78. I know it's a little bit different than what we have on the graphic, but I saw 78% of the bets are on Navy, 72% of the money's on Navy. The line is still open at, I believe, 12. It's 14.5 some places now. So it's still moving towards Notre Dame. This is one of the books know something. Definitely high on Notre Dame here. Because also, don't forget, Notre Dame plays the triple option twice every single year. They get Navy every year. They get Army every year. So this isn't like we only have a week to prepare for something we've never seen. Now, don't get me wrong. This Navy team is throwing the ball a little bit different. That's the part that kind of scares me a bit about the first half with Notre Dame, because it is might take a little bit of time to adjust. But I think once that happens, just the athletes on the field, like, you look at the guys who are going to go to the NFL for Notre Dame, none for Navy. So it's one of those, like, this is just – Navy's been awesome. I don't hate our military, but this is just a whole different kind of ball game when it comes to athletes.
Yeah, series 9-1, last 10 for Notre Dame. And I think you guys said it well here. I think Navy has not played anyone close like Notre Dame. I think I like Nick's bet. with the team points for Notre Dame. I also like Navy's maybe. I think Navy will score some points in this game. I think the over might be an okay play. I think it opened at like 52 and now it's at 51, I believe, in a lot of the books there. But I, like Nick said, I have been playing these overs. I do think Navy gets it. I think team points open up at 17.5. And on some sites, I think I saw it last night, it was up to like 19. So I am going to play something here. I kind of like, man, I think Notre Dame, I don't know. The over, I like both team points. I hope it's up and down. But again, Notre Dame, I think, is just going to be way too powerful. And then Nick made a good point. You know, they do play this system multiple times. So when Army comes in, I think in 2 weeks, let's remember that, because I think that's going to be, they're going to be ready for this kind of style, and they might even put a big whipping on Army too. So, but I love the Naval Academy, so I hope it's a good game. But yeah, check my, I'll have something in this game, but hopefully it's a good game.
Hopefully not.
All right, let's hop over to SEC country. Missouri takes on Alabama. Missouri's going to be without Brady Cook. From the last updates I heard, he's going to be out. This line has kind of gotten way out of hand. I think it opened around 2 touchdowns. Now it's up to 17.5. A lot of the money coming in, just similarly to Navy, a lot of the same money coming in on Alabama here. I do not know what to make of this Crimson Tide team. They are just Jekyll and Hyde. How you reach the top of the mountain, you beat Georgia, you turn around, you lose to Vanderbilt. I don't know what you're going to get. I do think they'll beat Missouri, but this number is getting stupid high to be, and I get it, they're at home, but it's a day game. They're probably not going to get up for a Missouri team that is without their starting quarterback. Do you think Missouri has a chance to cover this thing, Nick, or are you Roll Tide?
To cover, maybe, because I took the under in this, like total game under, so I could see it sticking close. You mentioned Brady Cook being out. Missouri starting running back is also, it's a doubtful, so we'll see if he actually plays. Number two receivers out, so Luther Burden's kind of their only guy, but how much can a backup quarterback really get him the ball? So I'm on the under here. I don't think Alabama either. We've mentioned it so much about just how much they're kind of getting beat up. Like, their schedule has not been easy. So do they really lay on the gas here? Do they really want to blow out in the second half? I don't think so. And that's also, we can joke about this Missouri team about, like, yeah, they got blown up by A&M and they were supposed to be very offensive. Their defense has actually been pretty good. They've pretty much held every team under their season average. So I don't hate this under here. That's why I played it. I got it 51.5. I'd probably still play it at 15.5. First half under is also another look here, especially with bringing a new quarterback in for Mizzou. But yeah, I just don't see, I don't see either team really putting up a huge number. So I'll lay the under.
Yeah, I'm right. I'm right with Nick. I did this the other day. I did a teaser. I put them in a little teaser. I haven't done teasers a lot like I used to here, one or two a week, but I did do this one. I got it up to under 57. I kind of thought the same thing. A lot of guys hurt for Missouri. Bama, again, Bama's defense is not very good. Secondary, we've talked about that on previous shows, but I just don't think this is going to be a very high-scoring game. I think Missouri's going to struggle putting points on the board, so I'm glad I got it the other day, and I put it up to 57, and I'll talk about the other game in a few minutes.
All right, let's go over to Eugene as the Oregon Ducks, the new number one, host Illinois and those Fighting Burt Bielemas. Another one. Two ranked opponents, yet you're almost 3 touchdowns here with Illinois. We know that Dan Lanning hates covering, although he has done it here lately. I mean, I feel like Illinois is just, they are that annoying team that you think, oh, they're 5-2 against the spread. They're money. This team's going to cover this. Oregon doesn't care. And then Oregon beats them like they beat the brakes off Purdue. Like, this would be lay it with Oregon or pass for me, despite nearly 70% of the handle at DraftKings being on the Fighting Illini. But yeah, it's a no bet for me.
Yeah, same. I'm not touching this. Like you said, if I was going to play it, I would lay it with Oregon. Not over three touchdowns. There's still 20 and a half, 21s out there. But, and I think this Illinois team is fool's gold. Like, we look at, like, who have they beat that's really, like, is their best win? Is it still because Kansas was, like, a primetime game that everybody watched? Like, is that really who we're holding this team up against? We saw Purdue take them to the wire 2 weeks ago. So, I don't know. I just don't think this Illinois team's any good. But this is another one. Does Oregon, like you said, Dan Lanning doesn't care about spreads whatsoever. This is another game for them. It's just to get this game over. It was kind of like Purdue. Like, it was just 35-0, handled business, and just got home. I think this could be the same type of thing. Let's stay healthy. There's bigger fish to fry in the future. So I don't know if Oregon really tries to run this up. If I was going to play it, like, I might look at the first half line, might be something to play. But yeah, Luke Altmyer, can't trust him whatsoever. Like, he's been, I think he's kind of been propped up because we haven't seen a good Illinois quarterback since like 2005 or 2006. I just don't think Illinois is very good. So I would lay it with Oregon, but this is a stay away from me just because, like I said, I don't know if Oregon really, really cares too much to blow them out.
Yeah, I don't think Jeff George is coming onto the field for Illinois this weekend.
Okay, well, so, that was older than 2005.
I know. Well, yeah, I'm the old man. I got to throw those older things out there. Were you thinking Juice Williams? Was that
Yes.
Okay,
Juice
well.
When, like that Aurelius Bain when they beat Ohio State that one.
I like taking Aiden back more. I go more old school.
Yeah, here, you
so,
do.
On that. So this is the one I matched up with. I took it up and I got, let me just, I think it's 60 and a half. Let me see. Yep, 60 and a half. Because I kind of agree with you guys. I think Oregon is going to score some points, but I don't think they're going to say, hey, let's don't get anybody hurt. We're number one in the country. Let's just try to get out of here. And I think their defense is good. Illinois, I think too, is they, you know, I just don't think they're going to put a ton of points on. They'll try to run the ball a little bit. They'll try to make it ugly, a little slower pace. So let's jack it up. Let's take the under and match it with that Bama one and hit the teaser this weekend.
All right. Texas Vanderbilt. Who would have thought we'd have a top 25 showdown in Nashville come week 9? But Texas coming off a brutal beatdown by Georgia. Vanderbilt, little America's darling. But again, we have a 65th strength schedule going against 33rd. But this is a big spread. And I like Vanderbilt here. Diego Pavia, the dude covers. I mean, even going back to New Mexico. Is it New Mexico or Mexico State? Can't remember where he was.
New Mexico State.
New Mexico
State. Okay, yeah, State. And then every – I think Vanderbilt's 4-0 covering double-digit spreads this season with 3 wins outright. Give me Vanderbilt to continue this. I think Texas is going to be down in the dumps. Vandy's not going to win, but I don't know. You've got a lot of controversy going on between Arch Manning getting thrown in, but no, it's still Quinn's job. Then you hear Quinn is transferring. Da, 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 da. We'll see. Vanderbilt, not distracted. They're still hopeful. 89% of the money on the over tells me that they think points are going to be scored at will. Let's go, Vandy. Get that 18-point cover.
Yeah, I'm staying off this one. I would probably lean Vandy if I was going to play it, just because they are very good at keeping the game close because they play the third lowest pace in the country. Only New Mexico and Air Force, who are basically two service. I mean, New Mexico is playing like a service academy. They're just so bad. They're just like, we don't want to get beat by 70, so let's hold the ball as much as possible. Vandy's been the same way. They know if they can kind of stay in games, let Diego Pavia kind of do his Johnny Manziel type stuff where he's seventh in the SEC in rushing and he's fifth in the SEC in passing. So it's like he's been balling out. You look at these logos and I know Vandy's had a couple wins they shouldn't have, kept games close. Texas, you mentioned they could be down in the dumps, but this is also one of those, imagine they come in pissed off and they're going to have the home field advantage. Like, Vandy doesn't have a home field advantage. Like, there's going to be more Texas fans there than Vandy fans. I could also see them just being pissed and just blowing the doors off of Vandy. So I'm laying off of it. Definitely don't have a pick either way, just because, like I said, I could see it going both ways. So not much else you could say about that. I will be rooting. I mean, I don't want to root for Vandy. I'll root for Diego Pavia, but I will.
Why don't you want to root for Vandy?
That's because like Vandy baseball. Can't stand them. It's no,
oh,
it's,
well,
it's
yeah.
All,
no, no, no.
It's all this looped together. Nope. Yes, it is. It's all looped together, that school, that private school.
I so. Refuse to believe that. You got to compartmentalize.
Can't do
this
it.
This is their football team. Football team, good. Baseball team, bad. Todd.
All right, I got it. So now for the baseball, I'm going to get a Vandy shirt and wear it just to piss Nick off most of the shows there. So, no, I don't know. I kind of
– No, you will curse them. That's good. Yeah, do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably will curse them. That is a good thing. Nick will
– Hey, wait, didn't you buy an Indiana shirt last year for baseball?
Indiana? Well, they were hot, and I bought a shirt. Then they kind of went bad. And then I got a Kentucky, and Kentucky played well. So the curse
was lifted. But your Indiana shirt, you could wear it for football because now all of a sudden everybody's jumping on that bandwagon.
Yeah, I could.
Well, don't do it now. Don't do it now. No, too late.
No, I don't want to. I like the story. Weekend. Don't want to jinx Indiana football. I like the program. I like
I hope
the coach.
I hope you jinx them this week.
This one, you know, I think – I'm staying far away from this one because I could see what both you guys said. I mean, I could see Texas coming in and just being very upset and saying, hey, let's throw some points on this team and let's get back into the winning ways here. But I think it's a great story this year. I do like the quarterback. He is keeping the teams competitive and good for Vandy to be in the top 25. So I'll be probably pulling for Vandy to pull the upset here.
All right, Penn State. I think this is going to be a slip-up spot for James Franklin. They're going to Happy Valley. You've got two teams that are on a completely different trajectory here. Wisconsin 3-0 in their last three ATS. Meanwhile, Penn State's 0-3. When you hear jump around in the third quarter in this Madison-Wisconsin night game, it's going to get fun. It's going to get rowdy. Penn State's got Ohio State coming to town next week. I think this is the ultimate slip-up spot for Penn State. I really like Wisconsin +7. I would even take them +6.5. This is one of those games where I feel like it's going to be a field goal either way. So don't get scared about 6.5. Take the Badges. Nick?
I messed up and didn't catch. I wanted to take Penn State when it was about 4. Missed it. So I do have them in a money line parlay. I think Penn State wins this. You mentioned Wisconsin 3-0 in their last three. Have you seen who those three are? Like, those are – it's basically the bottom barrel of the Big Ten. So, I think Penn State here just – I think they figure out how to run the ball. Drew Aller, we said we've been impressed with more this year. I think this is a game that I could see looking a lot like their game against USC did a few weeks ago. Penn State still flat out the better team here. Jump around might only matter if Wisconsin's close. If half the student section is left by that point because Penn State's blowing them out, it won't matter. So I have Penn State here in a money line parlay, as I mentioned. So I think Penn State figures out a way to get it done. It could be ugly, so don't hate the under here. But yeah, I can't trust this Wisconsin team. We saw last time they played one good team and basically got blown out. So I think Penn State's a side here, but 6.5, 7's too much. So I just took them in a money line parlay.
Yeah, I'm with you, Matt. I like the Badgers in this. You know, I look at it. Nick made a good point, though. They had three wins in a row, but it's Purdue, Rutgers, Northwestern. Keep an eye on the running back. He's been really blowing it up. 94 against Purdue, 3 touchdowns. I think it was 198 and 126 rushings. Quarterback's been playing better. The backup's been in. Got some experience now a little bit. Jump around. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it close. Penn State, only one other time they've been on the road in the Big Ten this year. That was at USC. They came out very flat. They were down at half. Good comeback. They did win 33-30 in OT. But I think another thing, too, you got a little bit of distraction here with this situation with some of the players that got kicked off the team in July. Some of the media is kind of asking Franklin some questions about. He would not answer, stepped off. They had a spokesperson come in. So a little bit of a distraction there. Oh, by the way, you got Ohio State next week that you could be eyeing up to. So let's go. I like this, and you'll see it in a little bit when we do best bets of the week. I like Wisconsin here to cover. I think it's a close game. I think Penn State does get the win, but I think Wisconsin can cover the 6.5.
All right, let's move on to the big one. LSU, Texas A&M. The winner of this game is in the driver's seat to win the SEC. Who would have thought? LSU, the biggest thing for me and taken away from the Arkansas game is if you can get pressure on Garrett Nussmeier, he will not be perfect, which is saying a lot. Connor Wiegman, I was really down on him, but he's looked good. And I trust Mike Elko. But this, the preview for those that are just taking it in podcast, pass defense success rate for LSU is 105th. Mike Elko is going to be able to score points. I know he's defensive, but if he can dial up some stuff to get pressure on Nussmeier, I think A&M edges them out in this one. This line's gone back and forth. It's like A&M favored by one, LSU favored by one. I just played A&M on the money line. Our projections like LSU to win by basically 1 point. From the team total, both of their totals are set at 27.5. I think it's a race to 24. Whoever gets to 24 points wins this game. 52% of the money on the under. I think it's right, but I think A&M gets this win, given that it's Mike Elko, defensive guy. LSU has had a gauntlet of a schedule the last 2 weeks, and they've showed up for him. Can you get up for that third game now? I just don't know if they have enough.
I love that you just use Arkansas as part of a gauntlet and like on their schedule.
Well, considering, Nick, that Arkansas and Sam Pittman in a night game –
I know.
Like 7-1 or whatever.
I mean, you just threw me an alley-oop. What am I supposed to do with that?
It's just tough. It's tough to get up every week for the SEC. I mean, it's – yeah, I think they fall back a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know which side I would take here. I would lean LSU. I think they're just flat out the better team. Also, like A&M's home field advantage is usually 4.5 to 5 points. With this being basically a pick 'em, that kind of tells you who the books are leaning towards is LSU. So I just think in Nussmeier, we mentioned it towards the beginning of the year. Like, it's like, who is he? He's been great. And there's no real, like, there's one notable receiver who everybody knows. Otherwise, he's been very, he's probably talked himself into that top three quarterback in the draft type of position. You mentioned Texas A&M. If they get pressure, nobody's really been able to get pressure with how good this LSU offensive line is. Some call it like possibly the best offensive line in the country. So I would lean LSU. But A&M, yeah, you mentioned Connor Wiegman has been ever since he kind of came back and we thought it was a benching. It sounds like he had some type of like little injury where they had Reed replace him. We thought Reed was going to be the guy. So Reed just wasn't. And they put Wiegman back in and he's pretty much been lights out. But the difference is he hasn't been turning the ball over, hasn't been making mistakes. So, yeah, I don't know who I'm – like I said, I'm staying off of this because I do think this really is as even as the spread says it is. So I will just enjoy it from my couch and not pick a side here or total because, I don't know what's going to happen in this game. Nothing would surprise me.
And I think, too, before Smitty goes – so Connor Wiegman is going to find success through the air against LSU, and I think Nick Skorton can – wreak havoc on that offensive line a little bit more, get a little bit more pressure. If you go back and look, every single throw that we touched Nussmeier when he was throwing, it was incomplete. But I think the key is going to be, can you get pressure up front? Because I think he'll turn into a completely different quarterback. Toddy, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I have that in my notes too. Can A&M get to the quarterback? That was down. I thought that was one of the big things for the week in this game. I think it's really going to be a tight game. I've been taking LSU. I really want to take LSU again. But like you said, Matt, you made a great point. Just so many in the SEC to come and be prepared each week against tough game after tough game. And, you know, I'm not saying Arkansas was a tough game, but it is the SEC. So I really like this LSU team. They are very good as a dog since 2017. So right now it's a pass for me. Like Nick said, just sit back and enjoy a really good game, hopefully. But if I had to take somebody right now, I've been taking LSU and I would probably do it again.
All right. Any other matchups you guys want to discuss before we get into best bets?
I mean, I'll touch on a couple like that I put bets on. Ole Miss minus 20 is one of the plays I have. They're playing this shell of an Oklahoma team. Same reason that I took who was it to blow them out? I can't remember. I took Ole Miss, I believe, or somebody. I can't remember who I took. Somebody to blow out Oklahoma. Because where are these points going to come from? Like, Oklahoma just fired their OC. They're switching everybody around. The guy who normally gives the signals to the offense, they're moving him up to the booth for the weekend to see if that works. So they're going to have somebody else doing all the signal calling. All five of their top receivers are still out. So, and Ole Miss is the second ranked defense in the SEC still determine all their struggles. So Jackson Dart, I trust to get to 30. And now do you really, like, I don't even know if Oklahoma gets to 10. So that was one of mine. I'm sure a lot of people want to hear kind of Indiana has been my darling. Like I said, I've played them like the last six games. I'm not touching, like, I think Indiana wins. I just think they're the better team. The coach has like that turnaround in the program, the confidence they're playing with right now, Washington flying two different time zones over, who hasn't been great. I'm waiting on that line to see if it moves, because I want to kind of play the Washington team total under. Because as much as people have talked about how great this Indiana like blowouts have been, it's also because their defense is not letting people score either. And Washington's not exactly a prolific offense right now. So I would lean Washington team total under. So those are probably the few or the couple that I'm kind of – that I've played and waiting on. Miami's going to blow out Florida State. That's another one I took. 20.5 is a big number. I don't want to hear the, oh, but it's a rivalry stuff. Florida State is garbage. Like – if like Duke beat them by that much, Miami's still in let's give Cam Ward stat mode. So I think they try to blow them out here. And then Cincy, Colorado. That's going to be a late night. I believe it's 10:30 or 11 o'clock if you want another to bet on. It's 6.5 right now that Cincy's plus 6.5. I think because Colorado being this media kind of darling, I think that moves to 7.5. And I will, when it does, I will be on Cincinnati. Colorado, you look at their wins, just aren't great. Like, they played a couple of good teams. Nebraska blew them out. We see what Nebraska is. They beat UCF back when KJ Jefferson was quarterback. So, yeah, give me Cincy at plus, once that moves to plus 7 or 7.5 tomorrow.
Toddy.
No, I agree with Nick on the Cincinnati game. I think that's a really good spot. I think if it keeps going up in that 7, 7.5, I'll be right with Nick and I'll be jumping on that. I jumped on one earlier in the week. I can't remember what I got it at, but I think it's going to be an ugly game, but I think it's a bounce back spot for Kentucky at home. I think they'll beat Auburn. I don't think Auburn's a very good team. They have a lot of turnovers, both. It doesn't matter who's quarterbacking there. And I know, I'm not saying Kentucky's offense is really any good and Florida really put on them last week, but I think it's a bounce back spot. I think it's a good money line play. So that's one I did play, and I'll post mine usually in the morning here for Saturday action.
So SMU Duke, I like SMU minus 11. Lashley has them rolling right now. 4-0 in the last four against the spread. They're averaging 45.5 points a game. Since that BYU loss, 18-15, which looking back, really wasn't that tough of a loss. But I really like this SMU team. I know they gave us a scare in the beginning against Nevada, but I really like what they're doing. And then UCF, I took them on the money line. This is a kind of a pros versus Joes play. Everybody's looking at that undefeated record for BYU. They're going to slip up. I thought it was going to be last week against Oklahoma State. They covered, but Oklahoma State let that game slip away. I think BYU may be the fakest undefeated team right now. And then Duke, that SMU's playing, they're 6-1. But who would have even known? I mean, I just think SMU rolls, and I think UCF, that line's too weird. I'm excited with all the respective people that I know and follow. So,
yeah, I've been that SMU team, Matt. I really like them too with the team points. I played it last week. I know their tight end Marilyn though is out. I think maybe for the year. So, you know, pretty good player there. But I mean, they have been scoring. So keep an eye on their team points too if you like those bets. I know it was an easy winner last week with them. They have a good team and they are scoring right now.
All right. Well, a quick message for Home Field Apparel, then we'll get into our best bets. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Homefield has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today.
These games are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's, children on these six games.
Absolutely. All right, we'll start with Q. Since he is not here, let me just say, from a graphic designer standpoint, this was like the most balanced sheet with UConn, Kansas State logos, and then JMU right there horizontally or across the center. But he is on UConn -6.5, Kansas State -9 versus Kansas. And then James Madison is his best bet, -23.5. 0-3 last week. He's got to do better. Nick, take it away.
Yeah, just so people know, I'm also on James Madison. I have a -24, definitely still playable there. I think that's just a blowout incoming. Forgot I put Ole Miss on my top pick, so I went ahead and just covered them like 5 minutes ago. So everybody got the reasoning there. North Texas team total over 29.5. This is a game that the total right now is sitting at 69.5 against Tulane. North Texas, they've had one game this year where they have not scored – where they haven't scored 30 at least. And that was against Texas Tech in a weird, like, that I believe it was like in the rain. That was one of those windy Lubbock games. Last four games, they scored 44, 41, 52, 44. They have a top 10 offense in all of college football, and they have a bottom 10 defense in college football. That's what you want when you want high scoring games. They're going to have the, they're going to get the ball a lot because their defense is going to let the other team score pretty fast. So, yeah, give me North Texas. That team total over 30, I think, is way too low. Like, I'd probably play it at 34.5, to be honest. Best bet, Arkansas State. This is a team that's still I think this is a bowl team, still playing hard. They're, like, their only losses on the year are – it's a Texas State, who we know is good, Iowa State, who we know is good, and then Michigan – blah, that was early in the year with Michigan. We'll just discard them. But that's just because Michigan has way more talent. They're facing Troy, whose only win on the season is against Florida A&M. So yeah, and Troy is in quit mode. They're 1-6. So yeah, Arkansas State -7, very easy best bet, which means it's probably gonna lose, but tail at your own risk.
All right. I like Tulane in that one too, but, let's roll, Smitty.
Yeah, I love that North Texas play. I've been eyeing up that over, but I really like the team points there. That's a good bet. Already talked about a little jump around for Wisconsin. I think it's a tight game. Oklahoma State, this one's been staring at me all week, so I had to put it on here. They should have beat BYU last week. I like Gordon finally got going. The backup quarterback, the more running quarterback, played a little bit. Bowman did get in, so both quarterbacks played. They're playing Baylor. I know what Baylor did last week. They scored a lot of points. They beat Texas Tech, which was a head scratcher there. But a couple weeks ago, we were saying, I mean, everyone was talking about how this coach is going to get fired, and Baylor looks like a train wreck. So if you're going to give me 7 points, I'm going to take a chance. Hopefully Gundy, the cow, didn't headbutt him again, and hopefully his head's on straight. So let's get a good performance here. Let's try to get a win here. And then, hey, there they are again, Miami. Always, I like these overs, my best bets. Nick said it too. He thinks it's a blowout. He thinks they're going to score a lot. Well, he said that last week against Louisville, and I had the over in that. So I hope it comes true again. Score a lot of points. Defense has been a little iffy, but you don't think in an in-state game, they're going to put it on Florida State. I could see them putting up 40, high 40s. Florida State's been scoring about 10 to 16. They are a very bad team. If they can just do that again, Miami's defense has been a little iffy. Keep scoring. Cam Ward, just keep throwing the ball. Get those Heisman numbers up. Let's get over 54.5. Best bet.
And then for me, I touched on it earlier. I like SMU. I love Notre Dame. I think they come out strong, have a big performance. And then Arkansas, Mississippi State under 56.5. Arkansas is 4-0 to the under in SEC games. They're only averaging 17.5 points. If you remember back last year, I get that it's a new coach for Mississippi State and their offense has been playing a lot better. But the final score was 7-3. Okay. It's a morning game. You've got the Cowbells. Jaquinta Jackson is going to be out. It's going to be the freshman Braylon Russell. Toting the rock for the Hogs. Taylen Green, big road game. It's loud. I don't know if either of you have ever ventured into the oceans of Starkville, but the Cowbells are just, they're a pain in the ass, and I hate it. So I like the under there. I think this is going to be, if the Hogs win, I think it's going to be like a 24-20 type game, but I'm not going to be surprised. I know a lot of people are on Mississippi State plus the 7. I don't hate that play either. I'm not going to bet against the Razorbacks here because I think it's such a big bounce back spot. Plus, we're still sweating over 4.5 wins on the season. So hopefully they get the win. We can go ahead and cash that here before we round out October. But SMU, like I said, Brett Lashley's got the Mustangs playing really good. And the Irish, I think they're just going to be too much. So with that being said, you guys have anything else before we let these people go?
No, I mean, underrated slate, like you mentioned at the beginning. Like, it doesn't look great on paper when you look at the matchups, but yeah, 5 ranked versus ranked teams.
The big spreads.
Yeah, it is. 5 ranked versus ranked teams. Boise and UNLV, you could argue, is a ranked versus ranked team. As good as Wisconsin's been playing lately, Penn State, Wisconsin's a big one. So yeah, I think this is an underrated slate. We did get spoiled the last couple, but it was only because there were 2 huge matchups that kind of end of the day. Like, you talk about Georgia, Texas, like, there's none of those, but still overall the entire card and the entire slate, I think it still should be a very good weekend of football.
Smitty, final thoughts.
Win some money. Let's go. Yes. Let's have a great weekend. You know, check our plays and hopefully we have a good weekend and we can win some money for some people.
All right, fellas, for Nick, Todd and Q, I'm Matt Grissom. Go follow us at NCAA Insiders on X and collegefootballinsiders.com for all the previews that we did not cover here. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.